Lou Manfredini here. Do you have cracked or sunken concrete areas around your home? Call PermaSeal for a free estimate. Don't replace it, raise it. Call 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
Dr. Dana Varbolt joins us, Chicago's exotic pet vet. That's what I usually call you, but she's the chief veterinary officer. How are you today?
Good. What a great day to start with a Jimmy Buffett song. It's a great summer day out.
It really is. And Dana is a chief veterinary officer for the North American Veterinary Community. I was teasing the fact that I'd come across this list of the loveliest animals, the animals that love us the most. I mean, everybody thinks that the nicest animal would be a dog. And well, because they're friendly and they're man's best friend. Not always.
Mm-hmm.
And in the article, it said that the friendliest animals dwelling in water, dolphins, beluga whales, and then manatees. On land, of course, dogs, cats, rabbits, guinea pigs, horses, and sheep all make the list. Monkeys do as well. But what's the animal that they identify as most friendly of all animals towards human beings?
I loved this article, Lisa. This was a great read. They pointed out that capybaras are lovely creatures to humans. And to be honest, I was pretty excited to see this as well.
What is a capybara? That's the thing. I'm like, I don't even know what a capybara is.
So for those of you, again, we don't have them running around Illinois, and that's okay. They are the largest rodents. The largest animals that are considered rodents, they kind of look like guinea pigs got put into one of those shrink expand machines from the movies and just got blown way up. So they look like giant guinea pigs. They're about 2 feet tall, the size of maybe a giant breed dog, if you can imagine, or like maybe a goat type animal. Hmm. So these are quite large animals. I was lucky enough to see these animals in the wild in Peru several years ago. And I have to say, they are shockingly social animals. They are very friendly. They are not scared of people at all, even in the wild. Huh. When you're out, they're in the Amazon, they're on the shores of the river. They do not get scared when you land your boat. They're just, you know, kind of minding their own business right there. But I will say, I've heard of them being kept in captivity, but I don't know that most people want a 100-pound rodent in their home. So
no. So are these different? Are they different, like nutria, like we see in the swamps of Louisiana, or those big creatures we see in golf courses in Mexico? They all look like big rodents as well.
They are. You know, nutria are they're a little different. Again, these guys are very, very closely related to guinea pigs. So they're going to be primarily grass eaters. They ferment that grass in their hindgut, similar to horses. They kind of have the same style feet as like your guinea pig does, where it's a little combination of a paw, but shaped a little bit like a hoof, if you will, because they kind of stand on their toes like guinea pigs do. So, you know, they're a little different. Nutria, to me anyway, look a little bit more like rats or mice. These guys really have that, like, flat, round face.
Yeah. Capybaras, they're identified as the animal that is friendliest to humans. Now you know something that you can chat about when you're standing next to someone you do not know what to say. Also,
great small talk convo. Yeah,
small talk. The FDA has now approved a 12-month flea treatment for dogs. Do you know about this?
Yeah, so this just happened yesterday. So it's very, very brand new. Probably not at your vet clinic quite yet, but I would be looking for it very, very soon. So this is very similar to the Bravecto product that is out now, but now it is a 12-month injection. So for those of us that can never remember the first of their month to get flea and tick medication in your dog, this could be a really convenient, easy way to do it year-round.
Wonderful. Okay, Dr. Dana Varbolt is with us. Coming up next, people want to know why cats vomit periodically, how to prevent a dog from getting a urinary tract infection, And we've got a parakeet that's losing his feathers. All of that on the way. Those are the questions coming across the text line. Dr. Dana Barbel is with us, Chief Veterinary Officer for the North American Veterinary Community. She takes questions on Fridays, and someone wants to know how to prevent a dog from getting a urinary tract infection. She's 3 years old.
So, 3 years old. So, urinary tract infections are far more common in female animals. And unfortunately, that's often not just limited to dogs, but across the board. And we all know, a lot of the ladies online are probably going, yeah. So, and that's because of kind of the shape of the bladder and the urethra. In female mammals, the urethra is wide, it's short. It means that bacteria can make their way up into the bladder relatively easily. So, couple of tips. You always want to make sure dogs got lots of fresh water around, that they're not getting dehydrated at all. The other thing you want to do is make sure that any long hair around their backside is regularly clipped and cleaned. If they're having any loose stools or diarrhea, it's never a bad idea to kind of clean up or wipe that area clean just to prevent any of that bacteria from ending up in the urethra around the vagina.
And they now sell, like, wipes. Don't they sell wipes for dogs, like cleaning wipes and stuff?
Yeah, there's lots of good wipes, and front to back on those. same as when you teach a little kid. But, yeah, you do want to check and make sure they don't have excessive skin folds around their vulva, too, and your vet can help you check for those.
Okay. Why do cats vomit periodically? Is that a hairball thing?
Everyone hears that noise in their head right now, right?
I know.
The one that gets you... gets you up and moving at 3 a.m. to go find out what the cat may have thrown up on. So cats, because cats groom themselves with that very prickly textured tongue, it is not unusual for them to develop kind of a bunch of hair in their stomach. And it is very normal for them to intermittently throw up that hair, basically have a hairball. But if they're throwing up food or liquid on a regular basis, that's not normal. So you do want to, we want to be sure to like really clarify there what's normal vomiting versus what's not normal. And if you're seeing food or liquid come up regularly, even on a cat, that's not normal. The occasional hairball, that's probably just their way of cleaning out their system, but it should never be just food and liquid.
Okay. We have a listener that has a parakeet that is losing his feathers above his nose. Can you recommend a vet in the city? I live by DePaul University for reference.
Okay, well, I never like to recommend someone specifically, but there are several exotic vets in the area, including the one I work at. It does sound like we've got a little problem. So to some degree in birds, molting can be normal, right? Like there's some seasonality and they get new feathers. And it's so funny because when you see, especially parakeets, for whatever reason, parakeets stand out to me. When they're in the middle of their molt, they sort of look a wreck.
Yeah.
They have these like little pin feathers and they're sticking out oddly. And they kind of look like they're just having a bad hair day, to be honest. But you shouldn't see like big groups of feathers that are falling out and not having replacement feathers in. So sometimes we'll see that with a disease or an infection, an upper respiratory tract infection worries me a little bit in this case because we got the nose openings at the base of the beak, the nares, the nostrils of a bird. There's some feathers around there. If they're getting kind of, for lack of a better word, gunked up with discharge, with boogers, we'll see some feather loss around there. But that shouldn't be happening. That's not normal. So we definitely want to check that one out.
And the vet clinic where you work is?
I work at Chicago Exotics Animal Hospital.
Okay, perfect. Lasha Opso. Lasha Opso, that's it. Been itching for a few months. Vet said it could be something in the grass. He's been groomed. He's had baths. Somebody told me yesterday that Lemon Joy dishwater soap would help. Did you ever hear of that?
I have heard of it. Not as crazy as it sounds, okay? So your first thought is probably like, okay, now I'm going to have a dog that's lemony and itchy. But believe it or not, dish soap is actually can be a great tool to break down substances stuck in the fur or against the hair coat. So the most famous example of this is when there's an oil spill, we use dishwashing detergent to clean the birds or otters or other animals that are stuck in the oil because it breaks down the oil, right? It's why we use it on our dishes. So occasionally, we'll recommend a liquid dishwashing detergent for animals if they're having trouble with a lot of basically fat or material buildup around their fur and skin. And we could see that if occasionally with allergies or with skin infections, sometimes the material, just kind of the gunk from their skin, gets overly built up. And believe it or not, liquid dishwashing detergent is very safe and it can be very gentle. So it's not a terrible shampoo substitute for many dogs. Now, I don't know if it's going to completely solve the problem, but it's safe to try it.
Okay. We have a 13-year-old yellow lab mix up to date on shots, checked out by the vet. Everything's fine. But one or two times a week, he throws up bile. I've got an old husky that does that, too. But mine does it when he's nervous. Like, if he gets scared or something, he just goes, look. I'm like, oh, my God, you're not a nervous vomiter, are you? But I think he is.
You know what? There you go. That could be one of the reasons, right? So we've got a 13-year-old dog here. So first of all, congratulations. You've got a 13-year-old dog. You've got a wonderful old soul on your hands there. So sometimes you do see these older dogs develop some GI upset, and it can be something very innocuous, like your dog, Lisa, or it's a little stress. It's like a little stress response, you know, and oop, there comes up a little bile.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll see this, what we call bilious vomiting, if they haven't eaten in a while. So sometimes these older dogs kind of get stuck in their routines, get a little picky. And if they're going like, you know, 12, 24 hours without eating, all of the normal enzymes that sit in their stomach start to kind of gurgle up, so to speak. And we'll see a little spit up with that. So there are ways you can kind of space out their food to decrease that as well. If you're seeing other symptoms, though, loose stools, weight loss, definitely good to follow up with your vet and make sure something else isn't going on underneath.
Okay. And I've got a one-year-old golden constantly eating sticks and dirt. Will she grow out of this? My God, I'm in that situation, too. And sometimes the wood is on the house that she has decided to eat.
Well.
Yeah.
Could get a growing out of this, but I'm going to confess to you, Lisa. I'm a 7-year-old Leonberger, and getting him to not eat sticks, I'm sure my neighbors get a good chuckle at me because I am running around after him, and he's got sticks in his mouth, and I'm yelling, and I think he does it now because he's laughing at me.
Right. He's like, game's on. I'm going to take her for a little run around the yard right now.
Exactly. Like, she hasn't moved enough today. Yeah, we're going to just go for a little run. But yeah, you know, sticks, it's not a normal part of a dog's diet. But if they're chewing them up and they're not running too rough with them, you know, obviously we want to redirect them to better toys if you can, especially if you've got a young one. And they may grow out of it. But, you know, to some degree, I would put that under not the end of the world. Oh, but they certainly do get us going, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. And we've learned more about the capybara, the nicest animal in the world, the humans. Someone said that animal is in the movie Flo, and another said that they have one at Brookfield Zoo.
They do. And Brookfield Zoo opened a new exhibit recently. So, you know, it'd be a good time to go out there, check out the capybara, and maybe enjoy a day at the zoo this summer.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And our bird person is so thankful for your advice. They're making an appointment right now.
Okay. wonderful. Can't wait.
Thank you. That is Dr. Dana Varble, Chief Veterinary Officer for the North American Veterinary Community and Chicago's Exotic Pet Hospital.